Hey, welcome back to the studio. I'm Guru Catherine, and today we are talking about what's going on in Brazil. Brazil is rolling out nationally a blockchain-based digital ID, and looking at a central bank digital currency. We'll talk about that in a minute. But let's talk about this. Now, Buenos Aires had previously talked about issuing IDs or giving access to your existing IDs through a digital wallet. This one is more of a nationwide program starting in three states to begin with, where they're going to be issuing ID cards on blockchain. So I want to talk about some of the details and the specifics of how they've chosen to do this and the implications of that and what it means for the ideas of other countries or companies that may have ideas on building on blockchain. You can get some concepts here, and I think there's some important lessons. So let's go through it. So what they did is they chose a private blockchain that was built by what looks to me like an in-house government entity. So a subset of the government that focuses on data processing built the blockchain that they're going to be using. It said here, and I'm looking at a Cointelegraph article dated today, which as or 21 hours ago, as we are recording this on the 1st of October, 2023. So they're using a private chain. What does that mean? It means that the government of Brazil owns all the nodes. The difference between a private chain and a public chain is, well, who owns the nodes? Who owns the actual infrastructure that's running this chain? And so in a public chain, nodes are owned by anyone. In a private chain, nodes are owned by a single centralized entity or small set of centralized organizations who are very particular about allowing new nodes or not, right? So that's what a private chain is. Private chains are a great idea for companies or organizations who basically are kind of afraid. It's a fear factor. And I know this, having been federal government myself. There is, something of an intolerance. No, not an intolerance. There's a lack of trust, which is an interesting subject. There's a lack of trust in the general public. So the choice of a private blockchain for Brazil or for, let's say, a pharma company, or let's say a company that does a lot of any kind of scientific research or patentable innovation, they would feel fear having their nodes in the hands of some random people they don't know. And they would say, oh, well, we don't want our nodes in the hands of some random people that we don't know because, well, they might hack the system. Spoiler alert. They'll hack your system anyway if that's what their plan is. They don't need to own a node to do that. And they'll often think, and I saw this so much on the U.S. federal side, they would think that just because that server was in-house or that, you know, that computer machine, whichever they're using, whether that's running a node on a blockchain or whether that's running a centralized database of some sort, they would think, oh, that's safe because it's ours. That's safe because it's sitting in one of our buildings being maintained by our people. And I think that's very funny. That actually, in my own opinion, makes it less safe. And having personally been on both sides of this equation, on the governmental, super centralized, super close hold, everything's, you know, very important that we just keep it in-house. And then having been on the blockchain side, public blockchain side of ultimate trust, of we're going to put these nodes in the hands of anyone who comes along and wants to have one. What I have found is that you're actually safer in a fully distributed public blockchain environment than you are in a private blockchain environment. And that being said, I understand the fear and I understand why companies or governmental organizations like Brazil would choose to do the private one, because in their minds that would feel more safe. So why would it not be more safe? And the answer for why it's not more safe is the same exact reason why any computer system is not safe. People. The people who run the system are by far your greatest vulnerability. Whether that's, you know, you could get in a system by phishing, honeypot. Oh my gosh. There's so many ways to compromise a human being. We won't get into that now. I'm going to stop talking about that right now. But before I get myself in trouble. But that being said, human beings are vulnerable. So, and you just don't know, right? Brazil could just as easily have a disgruntled employee who chooses to hack the system, or as have an employee that gets compromised in some way and ends up making the system vulnerable. And that could happen to any company or organization anywhere. So because it's a private blockchain that Brazil's building here, or has built already, it's very centralized. So what does that mean? Does that mean it's not decentralized? Yeah, that's what it means. It's not decentralized. It's a centralized blockchain. Well, what does that mean? Well, so instead of one server with all the data on it, they've probably got some number of nodes with the data on it. But all of those nodes are owned by the same organization. And all of those nodes are run by the same organization, and all of those nodes are controlled by the same people, ultimately. But you can see how, you can see why governments would want to keep it close hold like that. Now, of a country of a nice large size like Brazil, you could distribute nodes across the country, and that could be a significant security enhancement, right? So if instead of having, oh, well, we have 10 nodes, but they're all in Rio de Janeiro. Instead, what if you had 20 nodes and they were scattered across the country? And so that way, if you have a natural disaster, you're not taking out everything you've got. So geographic distribution is a great security concept in this event. I don't know if they're doing that or not. So I don't have any information on that. But what's very cool is, according to Cointelegraph, over 214 million Brazilians will soon be using blockchain technology for digital identity. So this is the concept of issuing your standard typical ID cards on the chain. So blockchain is great for this application. Blockchain is excellent for anything where you want an immutable, unchangeable record of historical fact. That's what blockchain is really good at. And so this can be a fantastic application, and I love it. I also see it as a just another indicator of a much larger trend of adoption of blockchain and crypto throughout the world, from every level, from the individual to governmental and corporate levels, and communities as well. So I take it all as a pretty big positive that organizations are starting to see the utility of this kind of thing and to put that into action. Now, I know what you're saying. Next comes CBDCs and oppressive control. Let's talk. So they, oh, and before we get into that, I do want to make a note. Props to Brazil, because they're rolling this thing out in 3 states right now, but over the entire country by November 6th. We're talking about a little over a month away. Have you ever seen a government organization move that fast? So I do want to give them major credit for that. Absolutely incredible. So let's talk about their central bank digital currency. So they have talked about it. And according to Cointelegraph, they had put out a little more information about it. In August, they rebranded it. The fact that you have to rebrand it says that people were wary of it, didn't like it. Give it a new name. Put a cartoon in there with it. They'll like it better. I don't know about that. And it always comes with this concept of opportunity, right? So their central bank is saying that having Brazil's own digital currency is a good thing because it'll allow expansion of, you know, businesses to have access to capital by, you know, tokenizing it, having a token system with this coin. It's awfully easy if you start a blockchain to start a coin. You can even start your own coin. I mean, you can start your own coin on Geode in 60 seconds. You could have your own token on, you know, your own crypto on Geode. Or with more effort, you could put one on Ethereum and places like that. But you got to be careful here because they programmed their own blockchain. And so you want to know, where did the code come from? What is the code capable of? So in the Brazilian code for their central bank digital currency, they did have a backdoor, according to this report. If I'm wrong, please let me know. But they did say it was discovered to allow the central authority, the central bank, to freeze funds or to reduce balances. I love that phrase. They can reduce balances. They can take your coin. Reduce balances. That's funny. They can take your coin. They can take your coin. They can freeze your account. And it's not really shocking that a government entity would build in that kind of thing, right? What is one of the major tenets of centralized government entities is control, right? Control for good. Is it control for good? It can easily morph into oppression or control for bad. The balance of control and freedom. There's so many really fascinating subjects that swirl around this, but I wanted to get into this example of what Brazil's doing, because I think it is not only just an example of a larger adoption of blockchain and crypto concepts across the entire world at every level, from national governments all the way down to the individual, but it's also an example of you know, these practices are the practices that you're going to see adopted in other countries, right? Other countries are watching. Now, Brazil's not the first. China has had a central bank digital currency for a while. But Brazil is different, isn't it? And I would say it's an issue of trust. And maybe I'm speaking from my own perspective coming up in the Western world, but when we over here see Brazil do something, we go, well, maybe we ought to take a look at that, which is a little bit different. China does something, we go, yeah, sure, they did. That's fine. Brazil does something. Oh, well, now somebody with a bit of westernized clout has done something, and now we're going to take a look. So as more countries begin to adopt and use blockchain technologies for digital IDs, for central bank digital currencies, you're just going to see more and more of it. It's going to exponentiate. And with that comes positive things. And with that comes very clear concerns. Does this then allow greater control? So when it comes to digital ID side of life, and let's split these two concepts, because a central bank digital currency is one thing you could do with a federal blockchain, and IDs are another thing you could do with a federal blockchain, and you could tie the two together in some way, but let's consider them separately for a minute. You're no worse off with your IDs being on blockchain than you are with your IDs being at the driver's license office downtown. It's still a centralized entity controlling them. They can still revoke them anytime they want. I don't think you're not terribly any better or worse off. With a central bank digital currency, from a financial perspective, I don't currently see the argument that anybody's better off, any citizen of the country is necessarily better off versus the traditional banking system, which also has apps and access to. In fact, they could be worse off because there are lots of people who are unbanked and still depend on cash or may choose to operate in cash for different reasons. So you'll have in here when it comes to the central bank digital currency, also known as CBDCs, you'll hear that a lot, the issue of trust between the individual and their government is really going to come into play here. So I'll be keeping an eye on what's going on in Brazil. I'll be watching them. I'm sure I'm not the only one, but this is kind of what I see here. So when it comes to lessons I take from this, is if you're a company and you're building a blockchain system, but let's say you want to track your internal research. You want to track the research that's being done, the inventions that are being created, maybe the patents in the different places they're at. You want to track your intellectual property. You want to track, you know, measures of productivity or different measures of employee success, maybe employee training. A private blockchain is a fine idea. I'm not sure you need more than that. If you want to really, like, you want to try to keep that in-house. If you're comfortable with it, it's probably far easier just to create a private app for yourself on an existing public blockchain like Geode, Ethereum, you know, something like that. If you are a company or an organization and you want to use blockchain for something that is external, customer loyalty programs, anything where you're interacting with your customers, right? Something external to the organization. I think you're going to have a problem with trust if you use a private blockchain. If you use an internal blockchain, I think you're going to engender more trust if you just create an app using a smart contract on an existing public blockchain. And so I think that's where I would kind of draw the line. I can see arguments for internal data control, like intellectual property or employee training. I could see a private blockchain for that potentially. But if you are operating external to your organization, customer interaction, customer loyalty programs, things like that, I think I would go public. It's easier, and it actually, I think you'll have more trust with the public. So that's what I would do. You can also do a hybrid version of that. You can. That's a thing. It doesn't have to be one or the other. It can be mixed. It can be a hybrid public-private blockchain or bridge between the two, although I'd be careful with that. I'm not sure I would bridge right now. So that's my thoughts. That's my thoughts on what's going on with Brazil and what it means for lessons for all of us and kind of where it's going. I think CBDCs are inevitable across all countries. Does that come with problems? Yes. I'm not sure it comes with problems that are greater than the problems you already have with the current banking system. Right? I'm not sure it's worse. I am sure it's not better. So that's what I think. Let me know what you think. And you can find me at CatherineColleen.com. You can send me a message there. Find me on all the socials and things like that. And let me know what you think. Let me know what the lessons that you're seeing here from this and what else you're watching in this world for yourself, for your own personal interest, or for the interest of your organization. Talk to you soon.